Today, Matt is out of town, and we'll be back this evening for our deacons meeting at 5, but he asked me to teach the Sunday school, so that's what you got. And it's good to have all of you today, and rejoicing in the Lord. These students are all going to be leaving us. We have two visitors, Tim, would you introduce our visitors this morning? Right, great. At McDonald's. Yeah. The McDonald's in Boiling Spring is the one I fell in. Right, Brandy? Of course, I think Brandy shoved me when I fell in that McDonald's there a couple months ago. I'd like to kill myself. What? That was it. Yeah. Great to have all of you today. And good to have the Duartes with us. And I thank the Lord for you, pray for you, think about your ministry and the young people, your children are a blessing. We love them. Don't tell them I said that. They can't handle that compliments. It'll go. Yeah. Jenna Lynn will just be, she can't handle compliments from me. So, yeah. All right. And I've been asked about Marilyn. Marilyn is doing a fair. She's still in tremendous pain. Gets up about every night around 12, 1 o'clock, is up for several hours because of the pain. So continue to pray for her. And then Mrs. Beal, I saw, went there yesterday to the hospice home for the Don and I, Scoble and I went over there. Go pray for them. It's just a matter of time. They thought 24 hours, but I've been there, done that. After you've been in the ministry 45 years, you know, you learn to say when the Lord takes them, not when they think they're going to go. And so remember the Bill's in prayer as they go through this pretty serious time in their life, losing. You don't lose. You know, I often think about that. We really don't lose loved ones that know the Lord. When you lose something, you don't know where it is. And we know exactly where she is going to be. So we rejoice in that. Thank the Lord. And any other, Woody, we're glad to see Woody is with us today. Thank the Lord for that, and he's doing well. And anyone have any particular prayer requests or notes of praise or something you'd like to share with us? Anyone at all? This is it. Yes, Jackie. Let's pray for it. Where's Mark today? In Virginia, same place? I know that Mark was either in Virginia or you got him in a closet someplace, is what you told me 2 weeks ago. That where's Mark? He said, we got him in a closet at home, and I got the key. But anyway, good to pray for them. And then there was a hand here, Corey. Who? Yeah. Pray for our brother Dylan that God will be able to. This is hard. I know my mother was not a professing Christian, and she was really a heathen before, lived a terrible life, and then she converted into Catholicism before I came to know the Lord. And boy, it was just difficult for her to, every time I talk about Christ, she'd talk about sacraments. That's difficult to get across to the Lord Jesus Christ, wading through all that. All right, so let's remember Brother Dylan in prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray in a minute. Anyone else? So remember them and remember Mark's father any other requests. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Count your many blessings, name one by one. That's our problem. We don't count our blessings, name one by one. We count our liabilities one by one, don't we, instead of our assets. Anyone else? Yes, Adam. Uh-huh. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Doc and I have hoping that a man by the name of Terry will be here today. We visited, and we're hoping he'll be here today. And he said he would be. I really believe he'll be here. But, all right. Pray for the young man here. Anyone else? He's calling. Yes, John. Amen. I didn't get that. You doing the funeral? Okay. Where does he live? Illinois. Okay. All right. Remember, prayer of the family here. Anyone else? How many, all of our college students are leaving us. They're going home. Are y'all coming back? Y'all coming back? Yeah. Okay. Good. Great. Adam is not this semester coming up, but if he didn't back the following semester, we just go get him. You know, that's just the way we just go get him. You know, that's the way to work that one out. All right. But taking a semester off, so pray for him. And Carol, what are you doing this summer? You going? Well, you live in Charlotte, don't you? You have such a long way to get home. Okay. All right. Anyone else? I don't see Okalani. Is she okay? What? Oh, okay. This morning, okay. She'll be here for church. All right. All right. Anyone else? All right, Tim, go ahead and ask God's blessings. Prayer for these needs.
Specifically, that you would use this situation to draw each one closer to you. I pray for the children, Lord, that their faith in you will be strengthened, and that they will have a greater desire to walk with you as a result of this time with the passing of their grandma. Lord, we thank you for what you will do now in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to give you a review. How many have a favorite book? Y'all have a favorite book? You have a favorite book. Tell us what your favorite book is in the Bible. What? Job, okay. Hebrews, James. Oh, okay. That's my. Go ahead. Leviticus. Whoa, good, great. My favorite, the Old Testament book is Genesis, and my favorite New Testament book is Philippians. And what I want to do this morning is do just kind of a review in the book of Philippians this morning. Four chapters. And so instead of turning to Philippians first, I want you to go to the book of Acts chapter 16, because I want you to see here, this was the first church established in Europe. You've probably heard over there in Acts chapter 16 what we call is the Macedonia call. When Paul, the apostle, received that in verse 9 of chapter 16, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And then as Paul went into Europe and he came to Philippi, his first convert in verse 14 was a woman named Lydia, who was from Thyatira. And the Bible said a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. I love that. Whose heart the Lord opened. And she is the first convert that is mentioned in Europe in the book of Acts 16 in Philippi. Then in that same chapter, you have over there in verse 25 the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Those are two stories we're all familiar with, but that's the church of Philippi. And verse 25 of chapter 16 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, because he knew that he was going to die anyway for a prisoner escaping. Supposing the prisoners had been fled, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for light, and he sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? I think that is interesting, because the Philippian jailer obviously heard them praying, heard them singing. And I'll tell you something, people are watching our lives. And he heard and came to know Christ as his Savior and his family. So that's somewhat of the background of the book. Now turn to Philippians. There are four chapters in the book. And when you turn there, each chapter has a very significant verse that says something about the Christian life. Now, Paul wrote this Philippian epistle. Where was Paul? Anyone? Where was he when he was in prison? And it's interesting because Philippians is called the joy epistle. How to get joy while you're in prison of your circumstances. Now, each chapter has a very significant verse to it. For example, in chapter 1, in verse 21, we find these words here. And here we have the purpose for the Christian living life. The purpose for Christian living or the Christian life. The purpose. God has a purpose made. What is the purpose? Why am I here? Why, after I got saved, was I left behind? Why are you here? The answer is found in Philippians 1. In verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, there are two words in this verse that it's okay to remove because they're in the italics. And anytime you find anything in the italics, it means it wasn't in the original. You understand that, don't you? So when he says here in verse 21, for me to live, Christ, and to die, gain. And so the purpose of the Christian life is Christ, to live for Him He's what my life, he is what your life is all about. You got to have a purpose for living. You know that suicide is the major cause of death among college students and second cause of death among high school students. In high school, drugs is number one. Suicide is number two because they have no purpose. And I have found scores, are you ready for this? I know Christians who have committed suicide. I believe I'm going to see them. You can have your own views on that, but I believe that the apostle, I believe that Saul, the Old Testament, I'll see him, even though he fell on his sword and committed suicide. I believe that God understands their makeup. But here it is: when you don't have a purpose surrounding Jesus Christ, your life is going to fall apart. Your life just going to fall apart. Then you go to chapter 2, you find the second. So in chapter 1. The whole chapter is our purpose for Christian living, Christ. And you know, I was thinking about Mrs. Beal this morning and others. I have, all the years that I have been in the pastorate for 45 years, I have never once that God would spare somebody. Never once. Because why would I want them to stay here when they have an opportunity to be there? For me to live, Christ to die. What does it say? Okay. Okay. So we gain certainly more than we lose. Then you come to chapter 2 and you find the second statement here in verse 5 of chapter 2. The first one, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The purpose for Christian living. And now we have the provision for Christian living. God only has a purpose, but he gives you, he provides something so that you can live the way you need to live. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ. Now here he deals with our thinking. Now I want to tell you something. We're living in a, I'm talking about prescription drugs and everything, a drug age. We have Dr. Finch here. We have Dr. Hannon in our church in Charleston, and he's always shaking his head among people that the answer to provide to get through life is just more drugs, more prescription drugs. Now I understand there are certain drugs. My wife takes a half a blood pressure pill a day because it's just needed, but we're talking about things that are going to mess the mind up. We need to be careful today because Christians are falling into that trap. We need to make sure our mind is okay. So he said, let this mind, here God gives us a provision here. It's not our mind, it's got to be his mind. Got to let him think through our mind so that we will have the kind of mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And by the way, here we have four downs. First of all, we find verse 6, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he, notice verse 7, he came down, but made of himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Now that's the kind of mind God wants us to have, a servant's mind, not a sovereign mind. You know, I was commenting to somebody, and I hope that you all understand what I'm saying here. I am very concerned about our younger generation because they are so busy learning technology that they have very little time to listen to the older generation who has something to say. Very, very important today. We got a computer age, that's where they're spending their time. And they think, I don't mean you. It doesn't apply to you, praise the Lord. But, you know, we got all this technology today. We can do more things today than I ever dreamed of when I was the age of some of the young people in here today. But I want to tell you something. Your mind, you're not careful. It's going to get messed up with technology. Let this mind become a servant. He came down, and not only did he come down in verse 7 and verse 8, he laid down his life. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. By the way, did you ever study the word humbled in Scripture? It's very interesting. The idea of the word humble is we humble ourselves. We do it ourselves. You know, humility is not thinking little of yourself. Not thinking of yourself at all. And that's exactly what the Lord did. He wasn't thinking of himself at all when he laid down his life for you and us. He was thinking of us. And that's good, clear thinking. Then notice he not only came down and he laid down his life, but thirdly, he sat down. Look at verse 9. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That he's, where is that? He sat down on the right hand of God. Guess what? What's the fourth down? He's coming back down. He's coming back down. He's going to come back down. And we need to note that. Because he says that every knee, verse 11, should confess. By the way, let me just stop here, verse 9, verse 10. I want you to write this by verse 9 and verse 10. Write Isaiah 45, verse 23. Let me read these verses first and then go to Isaiah. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, what is this verse telling us? This is a quotation of Isaiah 45, 23. Turn there for just a moment to Isaiah 45 and look there with me, if you will, please. Isaiah 45, and look there at verse 23. Let's begin to read verse 21, because 21 picks up the context. Tell ye and bring thee near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who had declared this from ancient time? Who had told it from the time? Had not I the Lord, and there is no God else besides me, a just God, a Savior? There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. Now, I know he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior, amen? Then notice, I have sworn unto myself, the word is going out of my mouth, and righteousness shall not return that unto me. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Where do you find that thought? Over in Philippians. The point of it is, this is a great truth that Jesus Christ is God. Because Isaiah says we're going to bow down before God, and over in Philippians, who is God? Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good one to show a Jehovah Witness. By the way, you don't need to let them into your house to do that. Do it on the front porch. But show them what the Scripture says, because they don't believe he's God. He's God. Now, so we have chapter 1, we have here the purpose for Christian living, Christ. We have the provision, a servant's mind, to let Christ take over our thought life. Then in chapter 3, we have here the plan for Christian living. What's the plan? And when I read Philippians 3:10, first time as a Christian I read that, I thought, this doesn't make sense. I don't know of anyone who was walking closer to the Lord Jesus than the Apostle Paul. Do you know of anyone? I don't. But look what he says in verse 10, that I what? May know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering may be conformed to his death, dying to self. You know, that word know here is an interesting word. It means to know by experience. It is to have a relationship. God has a plan, has a plan for the Christian life. And what is his plan? To know him better today than you did yesterday. I want to tell you right now, if in this last year your life is not really growing, you got a problem. Because you ought to know him better today than you did a year ago. That's the whole Christian life. But it's not necessarily head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. It's experiencing that relationship with him. That word know here means to know by experience. How many of you ever been in an earthquake? Anyone here been in an earthquake? Boy, I've been in several of them out in California. I still can see the sidewalk going like this. See, you can read a book about what an earthquake's like. I've experienced it. And that's the idea of the word there. You can read the Bible and you can know the Bible, what it says, but have you experienced what it says? That's a different thing. So first, chapter 1 is to the purpose for Christ, for living, is Christ. Number 2, the provision is to have a mind that is sees itself as a servant coming down. You know, the best way, the Bible's way to be successful is not to be successful in yourself. I mean, success is a big thing today. Everybody's striving for success. The word success is only found how many times? Anybody know where the word success is found in the Bible? Huh? Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt be successful. You'll be successful. Now, that's not what the world believes. But that's what Christian. God has a plan. God has a provision. Then we come to chapter 4. Go back to Philippians. So, chapter 1. We looked at that, the provision. Chapter 2, we looked there. Chapter 1, we looked at the purpose. Chapter 2, we looked at the provision. And chapter 3, we look here at the plan. And chapter 4, verse 13, is the power. I mean, what is good? If you have a purpose and there's a plan and all that, but what's good if you don't have the power to fulfill it? What good is it? The verse, last thing he gives us in chapter 4, I can what? Do all things through Christ Jesus. You know, somebody said that miracles come in cans. I can do. Because he will do through me. Well, those four thoughts here are really just key in studying the book of Philippians. Now go with me back to chapter 1. We'll do some other things here. Now, go to verse 3. A lot of times when I will write somebody a note thanking them, I always put Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What a great verse. So he starts out here what I think is a great thought here. Are you thankful for people? You know, I mean, somebody said to me one time, he said, boy, he said, you know, the problem with churches is we got so many many people with problems. I said, well, you know, we'd have a hard time. We wouldn't have people. Wouldn't have a church. I thank God. I try to make a habit of praying for, I pray for, I don't know how many people a day. I pray for so many missionaries, evangelists, churches, pray for this church regularly. And it adds up to it, but when I pray for them, I want to picture them in my thinking process. I want to see their thoughts, because I want to thank God. I even thank God for people that don't like me. Have anybody that doesn't like you? Let me see our hands. There you go. I mean, you know, because God allowed those people to be brought in my life for a reason. All the people come in your life are not by accident. God arranged it. God just knew you needed those people. So I'm thankful today. Then you come down here to verse 6, another very important verse on this first chapter here. Verse 6 ought to be highlighted. Being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Christ is the rapture. Now, Paul lived. Now, Paul's in prison, but he lived believing that the rapture was going to happen anytime. You know, our problem is we don't believe that much today. Our minds are so filled with everything else, we don't think about it. But as John prayed on the Isle of Patmos, we ought to pray, even so, come Lord Jesus. But the word here that is key here is the word confident. Underline that thought here. The word confident, he said, I am fully persuaded within myself. That's what that word means. I am fully persuaded within myself. You ever have doubts? I've had them. And you know how to get rid of doubts? Get along with God. And just cry out to Him, because you don't want doubts in your Christian life. Okay, if you were, matter of fact, I think of two fellows in prison in Scripture. One of them is Paul. He said he basically had confidence God's going to work it all out. Who was the other one? John the Baptist. What did John say? Are you really the Messiah, or should we? There's been a lot of John in me. But I want to have a lot of Paul in me. I mean, you look at things, you say, God. You know, I've been in a place in my life I had to reread Romans 8:28, make sure it was there. Because there were a few times I'm saying, Lord, is that verse really for me? I had some doubts. Until later on, I had to confess my sin of unbelief. Because God, we all like to. When God puts problems in our lives, we always can't wait to get through the problem. But God is doing something to us. It's not as important as what's happening to you as what is happening in you. And what God puts you through and me through, He wants to change something within us. And when that happens, then He will move us on to the next issue in life. Now think with me, another thought here, chapter 1. So just giving you just a little review here, little thoughts. Look at verse 9 and 10. Paul was a man of prayer, and his prayers often were short. There's a few you can read were longer, but I come to verse 9 and verse 10. He says three things that he prays for the church at Philippi, and I think he wants to pray for us. Number one, he prays. Note the word that. You'll find it three times in verse 9 and verse 10. The first one is in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Here he's talking about spiritual devotion. Your love may grow more and more in knowledge. The word knowledge means experience, a relationship with Christ that is growing. So the first thing is pray for a greater spiritual devotion to Him. Then in verse 10, you find the two other that's. That you, secondly, may approve things that are excellent. Here is spiritual discernment. First, spiritual devotion. Next, spiritual discernment. You know where most of the cults get their convert from? Anybody know besides Doc here? Anybody know? Where do you think most of the cults get their from? Baptist churches, Bible-believing churches. Because the people are not have enough discernment. I was talking to a fellow one day I met in a store, and he just walked up to me and he said, aren't you a, gave me, now, yeah, I'm pastor. He said, you know, I used to be a Baptist, but I'm a Jehovah's Witness now. He said, I didn't know anything about the Bible until I became a Jehovah's Witness. I said, you still don't know anything about the Bible. He didn't like that. And What a tragedy. I mean, that just ought to cause us to weep. I think our people are not, and he reminded me that Jesus Christ wasn't God. I could have given him this verse, but I'm in a store without a Bible. I was over, he was looking at ties, I was looking at ties. I don't know why I look at ties, I'm colorblind. I got to have Marilyn along, but anyway. And every time I buy a tie without Marilyn along, she says, "Where did you get that? Where did you take it back? Do something with it. Bury it." You know, that's what I. She didn't say that, but I think she's thinking that. Now, thirdly, he first of all prays for our spiritual devotion. You know, I have to tell you today that if you're not careful, that can weaken. Secondly, spiritual discernment. Be able to discern. That's what the word judgment means, by the way. It means discernment. And thirdly, for spiritual development. That you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ. Now the word sincere, you ready for this? It means without wax. Thanks. Boy, I appreciated that. What does that mean? Back in those days when someone would, they would buy their pottery and their dishes, they'd buy it in an open market. And sometimes the person selling that would take, if it would get a crack in it, he would take wax and melt wax and seal up that and kind of blend that in and sell that at a regular price. But people who knew better would take that piece of pottery and hold it up to the light, and they could see that crack through that there melted wax that was patching that up. He said, "Listen, I guess the principle is don't become a crackpot, huh? But anyway, don't be sincere. Don't be a Christian that's broken, got defects in your life. Be real. Well, if there's ever a time." The world needs to see we're real. It's now. I mean, we're really real. So he says those three things. Now move on with me. Down here. Again to chapter 2 now. Let's go over there. Some thoughts in chapter 2 because my time is, I just got started. The problem, I want you to underline two verses in chapter 2. Verse 2, verse 4, and verse 21. Here was Paul. By the way, there wasn't a lot wrong with this church. You can't find much wrong with this church. Except they were self-centered. That's a pretty serious problem. How do I know that? He said, verse 2, verse 4 of chapter, let not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Get your focus off yourself. And I want to tell you what, there's too much focus on ourselves in this generation. Verse 21 of the same, for all seek their own, and not the things which are Christ. We're so wrapped up in what we want. Paul reminds us, get your mind off of yourself. You're really not that important. I would like personally to buy some people for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. I'd make a lot of money, better than the stock market. That's what Paul's saying here. Then I go to chapter 3. Sometime I'm going to deal with chapter. I'm not going to have time today. Again, in this particular chapter, verse 10 through verse 14 are key verses, but I don't have time even. I've got less than 5 minutes. Paul said again in verse 10 that I may know him personally, know him powerfully, the power of his resurrection. Think with me, we have the only leader that still lives. Only one. You can go to all the different leaders of past. They're all dead. You go to Jerusalem, they all visit the empty tomb. And we can live in the power of who He is and the fellowship of His suffering. You know, how many like to suffer? I want to see your stupid hand. No, it's not stupid, but you don't want to suffer. You know something? We sometimes, God puts in a place where we suffer. We ought to thank Him for that, because God wants to use us. And then being conformed to His death, dying to self. But look here at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now that word perfect doesn't mean sinless, but Paul was still reaching for a higher goal in his life. I mean, here's Paul. Are you ready? Here's me. Paul wanted to go higher than what he... I'd just be glad to be where Paul is. We all need to attain goals. You know, I have goals every year. I'm going to read my Bible through several times, so two or three times a year. What doesn't make any difference. Whatever your goal, set your goals. I don't have to read it through as many times as I do, but I tell you what, whatever God's goal is for your life, do it. All had go. Not I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I am. But if that I may apprehend for that which also am apprehended of God. In other words, that I may get a hold of that which has already gotten a hold of me, my relationship with Jesus Christ. Fourth chapter, I won't have time, but maybe another time I get, I'll give you the fourth chapter. All right. Father, I thank You for this time together. Thank You for this group, and thank You for Matt and for his teaching of the Word of God. In Christ's name, all God's people said, you can't leave. There will be somebody.